You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Rizdahl. The big picture theme of the American economy this week, well, the first part of it anyway, is housing. We told you about home builders yesterday. Their confidence is down. Home sales are tomorrow. Today, it's all permits and starts. The number of permits issued for new construction down just a teensy bit May to June. Actual new construction starts, that is, homes actually starting to be built, down about 2%, actually. And there have been lots of signs of late that housing is cooling down. But as Marketplace's Samantha Fields reports to get us going, cooling still does not mean affordable.
It's rough out there right now if you want to buy a house, especially for the first time.
It's the most unaffordable it's ever been.
David Dworkin at the National Housing Conference says that's because home prices are at record highs and mortgage rates are much higher now than they were 6 months ago.
Last year, in order to buy a $200,000 house, required an income of $60,000 a year. That same home today costs $330,000 and requires nearly $100,000 income.
And pretty much no one has gotten that kind of raise. There are also just fewer homes being built these days, Dworkin says, especially in that price range.
We've also seen since the beginning of the pandemic a huge decrease in the number of new homes being built that are less than $300,000.
Construction of all new homes fell way off more than a decade ago during the Great Recession, and we've never made up that deficit.
And we are now literally paying the price.
Buzz Roberts is with the National Association of Affordable Housing Lenders.
This is really hurting people very broadly.
Both buyers and renters, he says. About half of Americans now say housing affordability in their community is a major problem, according to Pew Research.
All housing is on a continuum.
Diane Yentel at the National Low Income Housing Coalition says when it becomes too expensive for people to buy, they rent for longer, which increases competition and drives up rents for everyone.
On its best day, the housing market is like a game of musical chairs. And when the music stops, it's always the people with the lowest incomes or no income left standing.
These days, Yentel says, that's happening to a growing number of people. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
So here is a just slightly wonky story that we're thinking might help illuminate some bigger issues in this global economy we all call home. Shout out to CNBC for picking up on this, by the way. There was a report out yesterday from the Treasury Department that showed China now holds a relatively meager $980 billion worth of U.S. government debt. It's the first time in a dozen years that Beijing has held less than $1 trillion in treasury bonds, and it slides Beijing to the number two slot of foreign holders of U.S. debt behind Japan. Marketplace's Lily Jamali's on that one.
China's economy has slowed considerably in recent months.
You've had entire sectors of the economy effectively grind to a halt.
Now, says Gennady Goldberg of TD Securities, China is shedding U.S. treasuries to defend its own currency, the yuan, which has lost value as the dollar has gotten stronger.
What China wants to do is actually manage some of the pace of that depreciation. One of the ways that they do it is by selling the dollars and buying yuan.
Goldberg says the retreat of one of the largest buyers of U.S. treasuries could bolster the Federal Reserve's efforts to push interest rates higher to cool the economy. But it might also lead to tighter financial conditions than Fed policymakers want. Moving away from the dollar isn't easy, though.
The fundamental issue is, what do you do with $1 trillion? There are just not a lot of markets into which you can safely put $1 trillion.
That's David Dollar of the Brookings Institution's China Center. He says a big reason for China's shift comes down to politics.
They're unhappy with the way the U.S. keeps using financial sanctions around the world.
Such as the exclusion of many Russian banks from the SWIFT international payment system shortly after the nation's invasion of Ukraine, says Thomas Hogan of the American Institute for Economic Research.
That was a major wake-up call for China and other nations that might not be aligned with the United States and Europe politically. They realized that the SWIFT system could be used as a political weapon to harm them economically.
Hogan expects the move away from U.S. debt will be slow and steady. After all, China won't want to harm the sizable investment it still has. I'm Lily Jamali for Marketplace.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.